Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T, is back. At least it's back for us three. And you kind of get those awkward moments because Arch is starting to feel on DJ's biceps because he feels like he's been working out a little bit.
You know, there's my first round draft pick right here.
When you haven't seen each other in a while, like, you know, football players, former players, you get really close really quickly.
This is literally our locker room. So when we get a chance to get together, it feels like old times.
So basically, you're getting a glimpse into the locker room, but just with some microphones in front of us, which is what everybody's dream is, right? Like, just put the microphone in the locker room and just let the guys go. However, we do have to keep things clean in this medium because locker room is anything but clean. However, when I meant clean, I meant language, okay? It's a sanitary environment.
Good call.
All right, we are here. We're going to talk about some draft. Before we get into the draft, guys, I'm going to throw you a curveball because this has kind of been off-season a little bit, right?
I only hit fastball, so.
You are covering Braves now, right? True. So you are a fastball guy. However, this is kind of off-season, so I want to get your guys' opinion. When you were playing, were you a vacationer in the off-season? Were you a golfer? Were you something else? Were you a video gamer? Like, what did you guys do in your off seasons?
Arch?
Yes.
All the above.
All the above.
What? You didn't name anything I didn't do, so I didn't know where to go with that. So yes.
You know, sometimes I feel like the fans out there, they want to know what the guys do in their spare time, right? Like, now they're back, they're working out, they're right behind us on the field right now doing their off-season workouts, but you know, we get so locked into what they do on the field during the season, wins and losses. Are they picking off passes? Are they throwing touchdowns? But what do you do when you unload, DJ, when you don't have to go out there and perform for your job?
I think a lot of guys, they take trips. You get a chance to get away. A lot of guys have families. Most guys, you know, when you're first coming in, probably you don't have, you know, a family and a wife and kids and all that kind of stuff. So it's more of, you know, hanging out with your boys or you got dudes that live in Miami or live in New Orleans, wherever it is, a cool place to go. Or, you know, you get some stamps in the passport, you get out and have a good time. When I played, I felt like, or maybe I just didn't pay attention to it, not a lot of dudes played golf. But I feel like maybe I just wasn't paying attention, and maybe a lot of guys did play golf, and it just – because I wasn't playing, I didn't even think about it. But I think a lot of dudes nowadays play a lot of golf, which is great. I mean, I think it gives you still that competitive edge. I think it's relaxing. You get to get out and have some fun. So I think between vacationing and golf, and then for the older guys, it's, you know, trips. It's spending time with your family because obviously during the season, those hours are very limited. So I think a lot of guys find the off season, try to find an equal medium to be able to say, all right, I can spend some time with my family, but then also I can go hang out with the guys, do some different stuff. So I think it's more of a depressed time, like you mentioned. But I think more guys play golf. What do you think, Arch?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys playing golf. I think that nowadays, because of the notoriety that the players have in the general populace, it's really difficult to go do stuff, right? You know, to just go someplace in the city and sit out on a deck and have a couple of beers and stuff, you can't do
true.
That, right?
So
now you do like Shock like goes to this island he owns in the Caribbean, and he stays there for like a week or something like that.
And nobody only, notices like, 10 people there.
Nobody notices him. So
I'm with you guys. I was a vacationer and a golfer because I didn't start a family until my sixth year in the league. So I didn't have the kids. I didn't have the wife. And so it was hanging out with the fellas and then going on trips to play golf.
So you are what they say now was – Rack was in them streets. That's what it is.
Right, I mean, there. You could probably say that in my younger. I mean, come on, right?
It's no
like
doubt.
We're in our
no
young, doubt. We're in our low 20s with a decent little bit of money in our pocket. You know, it's like you didn't have that in college.
For sure.
We weren't in there with the NIL.
Oh no,
it had all kinds of money in the pockets. You know,
no,
I was rolling up to the clubs in my Buick Century back in college. Now these guys got rimmed out Rolls Royces.
Pull up and people driving them.
All right. So anyway. We digress. That's a little bit of the offseason, though. Let's talk about the draft coming up next week. So, as we know, fellas, Falcons will be selecting at 8. Seems like 8 has been a common number for them. Even back when I was playing, I remember that D'Angelo Hall was drafted 8th overall. You know why I'd never forget that?
Why is that?
Because D'Angelo Hall, when he was a rookie, bought a Cadillac Escalade. Uh-huh. And on the side of his Escalade, he took off the Escalade letters. And in the same font that they write Escalade, he put RD1 PK. 8, round one, pick 8.
I like it.
So I'll never forget
like a, that. Sounds like a D. Hall thing.
That's a very D. Hall thing.
Sure. Yeah.
But a great football player he was for the Atlanta Falcons. So Falcons selecting at number 8. So fellas, let's just dive into it. DJ, I'm going to tell you that you're on the clock, but you've had plenty of time to think about this. The Atlanta Falcons and DJ Shockley are on the clock. Number 8 pick is here. Who you got for the Atlanta Falcons?
Okay, can I put a qualifier on this?
Okay, we can.
Because the qualifier is Shock's going to name like 8 guys. You can't name 8 players. You can't name 8 players.
This dude know me like crazy.
I'll give you two.
Two? No.
You get
he
one?
He got to pick one.
All right,
he
commissioner said one.
Arch knows me by now. He knows I'm a preference. Right.
He'll name everybody that's available.
Here's what I'll let you do. You can
be wrong then, right?
You can name 2 or 3, but you have to pick one person picking.
I'm going to pick one since y'all done put me in the corner. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and choose one since y'all done pigeonholed me to picking one player that the Falcons can only choose at number 8.
What you got?
All right. So after much deliberation, I mean, where's my clock? I need about 10 minutes of time. I don't get that right now.
You only get 10 minutes.
All right. I'm gonna go off the board a little bit. Maybe not off the board, but I'm gonna go with Quinyon Mitchell, the corner from Toledo. Okay. Obviously, there are two positions that are of need. There are two positions that everybody's talked about coming to this draft, and we know the number one position. But I think this is a guy we've talked about for a long time that can go on the other side of A.J. Terrell, and now you have bookend guys, young guys at that, with size, speed. This guy has a 38-inch vert, ran a 4.33. Played 3 years of ball, played tons of football for him, played in all 13 games last year, 14 PBUs, had an interception, very athletic, strong, did 225 21 times. This is a guy I think that would fit very well into what Raheem and this defense staff likes to do, can play off, can play zone, can put his hands on you, has the ability to be able to play the ball really well in space and, I mean, in the air. I like Mitchell here. He's one of those kind of guys that – you know, I don't think he gets past 15 in this draft, and I don't think it would be a reach to go get a guy like this. So
right, let me ask you this then. Okay, any concern for you? Played at Toledo, and we've seen guys come from mid-majors that light it up. So it's nothing about that. I mean, I looked at the tape on this kid, and everything was like ground-level handheld. I mean, meaning that they weren't on television a lot. There wasn't one of those kind of scenarios where this is a household name. He has become that since the combine and what he did there. Any concerns for you as you go get a corner that comes into the league and now all of a sudden he looks across and there's that guy and then there's that guy and those preeminent players that we know that light the scoreboard up with – maybe he hasn't played that kind of talent at the Toledo.
Perfectly understandable. And it's a great question to ask because you think about a lot of guys who come into this league and similar to when Josh Allen came out. Yeah. Josh Allen was a guy who came from a smaller school in Wyoming and said, okay, can he match the same talent that is that's going to be around him? And I think this is a great question for that as well. And I don't think that's going to be an issue because I think you come into this league – and whatever team you're on, you're going to have a chance to face these guys before you see these guys in real time when I say in a ball game. So he's going to have a chance to see Drake London every single day. He's going to have a chance to see Darnell Mooney. He's going to get a chance to see some elite caliber receivers in his game. So when he gets to maybe game time, yeah, he's going to have his bumps and bruises. All corners get beat, all have their issues here and there. But I don't think him playing in Toledo and playing not to – people would say the caliber of players that would play in the Power 5 conference is going to be a detractor for him. And I think he's one of those kind of guys that, as we know, most DBs, they are kind of alpha guys. They're going to find a way to compete. They're going to go get it. And I don't think it'll be a big issue, but absolutely. It's a question you got to ask with guys like that coming from, you know, those mid-major schools.
Second team All-American. Yep. He had 46 pass breakups, so the guy's a ball hawk, as Shock talked about. And then he played 5 years, I think, 5 years at Toledo.
Yep.
And so a lot of play time, Rack. You know, so he's been on the field. So it's not like you're getting a redshirt sophomore that maybe played 2 years that's coming out of a mid-major and doesn't have a lot of play time, and now you're going to have to develop him here. he's developed his game a little bit. He played some in the slot, too, this last season, so he's got some versatility to him.
Love that you threw that out, Arch, because that was the same thing I was thinking, because you can kind of get one of two things. You can get the guy that has been playing at a high level, and he comes in here, and he doesn't think anything different, and he just takes off when he gets in.
For sure.
You could also get the guy, and that's probably the same guy that plays with that chip on his shoulder, like, you know what? I played at Toledo. Like, mm-hmm. None of the big boys gave me a chance, but I belong.
When you were talking, the one thing that came to mind was a guy who I played with. Both you guys know him really well. Did really well for himself in the National Football League. Was in my class, Brent Grimes.
Oh, yeah.
Shippensburg. Yeah. Never heard of it. Yeah. Don't know where he came from, but he stepped on the field, and he didn't care who was in front of him. He didn't care. He was 5'6", 5'7", what it was.
Yeah.
He played up to the talent. Now, not every guy's going to come in here and do that, but that's one guy that came to mind for me when you think about a guy coming from a smaller school and stepping
up. You know what it is,
Well, let's not discount the chip on the shoulder mentality, right, that happens. And that's certainly Grimes. Change of direction. He could jump out of the gym.
Yeah.
I remember him going head-to-head against Megatron.
Yeah.
Side by side with him, 5'7", and 6'5". He was right there with him. Now, side
you know,
by side.
We throw this term out a lot. We're on with the Georgia Bulldog, but, like, some of those guys that just have that dog in them, right? Like, Grimes was that dude that had that dog in him.
Yeah,
he had that competitive nature to him. And maybe this young man will have the same thing because you're right, played at a smaller school. He didn't play at Alabama, Florida, all the teams that get all the notoriety, the television that you talked about, Arch. But we'll see whether or not he's able to elevate his play and fit in, maybe across from a guy like A.J. Terrell. All right,
Arch never called games from – they have cameras below that. He never did that. That's crazy.
I think I was holding one of the cameras. No, I'm just playing.
Hey, first of all, aren't you proud of him? He just gave us one name.
Oh, it's incredible. Even though we held his feet to the fire.
No.
One name.
I had a little blowtorch blowing on him underneath
Arch,
the table here.
You are now on the clock. And Arch, I mean, DJ's got his little steno pad here.
Yeah.
But like Arch has got the three-ring binder. I'm talking three-hole punch, color-coded, like he ain't playing.
Yeah. This is, I
can't find the pages anymore, so I got to put colors on them and stuff like that. It's like playing with crepe paper when you're a little kid, right?
I'm in 101. Arch is over here advanced.
Yes, he is. What AP. You got, Arch? You're
all right,
on the clock.
All right, I'm gonna go with something that's going to be fairly common, I think, from a mock draft standpoint. I'm not going to go off the table. I love the Quinion Mitchell pick. If you feel like you're going to get this kind of guy in the next round, or you can trade into the back of the first round to get an edge rusher. I think this is the time that you got to go get an edge guy. And there are three guys that come up. I'm not going to say all three because you may be wanting one of those guys. So I'm going to go Dallas Turner out of Alabama.
Okay.
I think Dallas Turner fits the bill from what they're going to try to do defensively here with Coach Lake. I think that their idea of having a guy that's a three-down player that can play linebacker out on the edge, he played in a very similar scheme at Alabama. I think he gets underrated from his ability to put his hands on you, too. He's 6'4", 247 pounds-ish, ran 4.46 at the combine. Mm-hmm. He had a 1.54 10-yard split. So the dude can come off the football, but he does have heavy hands. And you can go back and look at tape. We did some stuff on – and you can go to AtlantaFalcons.com as we get these player breakdowns. We did some edge – we did the edge players. There's some tape on Turner – getting across the formation and then just blowing the tight end up in the run game. And I think that's the thing that people think is he lacks a little bit of point of attack strength. I don't see that. I see a guy that, you know, put his hands on you, can shrug. And you talk about it can walk people down from behind now.
You talk about
quarterbacks getting out of the pocket, or if you've got bubble screens or those the perimeter type game in the pass game, he is going to be able to redirect and get on it from a rush situation. I like Dallas Turner out of Alabama.
I got a chance to see that dude up close and personal. Obviously covering Georgia, and they played him in the SEC Championship game. He had two or three plays in that ball game where you say, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, you can't do anything about it. When he decided to take over a ball game, decided to get to the quarterback, and it was in the run and the pass game. So I like what Arch is going with Dallas Turner. He's a guy that I think everybody's excited about. He's one of those type of guys on the board that you look at and say, all right, he can be a come in right now and be a game changer for you. So he definitely fits the mold.
All right, let me flip the script.
Okay.
Can I flip the script for you?
You can, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump in the one chair.
Let's go.
He's in the one chair.
Let's go.
Derek Rackley.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your selection for the Atlanta Falcons at number eight?
Number eight overall, the 2024 draft. The Atlanta Falcons select Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dallas Turner as well.
Okay. You like
and I think this is great because we can get into a conversation about this, because I think we all would agree pass rusher is a huge need for Atlanta. Arch, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read this the other day. Since John Abraham left in 2013, we've had one person that's had double-digit sacks, and that was Vic Beasley in the Super Bowl year, right?
That's correct.
So think about it. We're in 2024, and we've got one player that's had double-digit sacks, all right? It's a huge need for this team.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the discussion because I'm a big Dallas Turner fan too. I've called a lot of his games working on national radio. Here's what I like about Dallas Turner, because I'm going to compare him to other guys like Laiatu Latu and Jared Verse. And I don't want to take anything away from Verse or Latu for that matter, but I know that Dallas Turner has been playing against NFL caliber offensive tackles every single week.
Yeah.
Okay? You go back and you look at his sacks have been against Michigan, Georgia, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Like, these are the guys that he is going up against each and every week. And I would like to think that those guys are going to have 6'6", 330-pound tackles that are probably playing in the National Football League.
Yep.
Okay? Latu, I looked up his stats, okay? He had a great season. He had three sacks against Coastal Carolina. I watched every one of them. It was like taking kid from a candy, from like taking candy from a baby, right? Like, he just walked around these dudes and he got to the quarterback. To me, that's not impressive because he's not going up against a guy he's going to go up against in the National Football League, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, that's kind of like a stat stuffer type deal. And then he's going up against, like, he's had sacks against Arizona, San Diego State. That to me doesn't necessarily translate great to the National Football League. Now, critics would probably point to me and say there's been plenty of guys that have come from smaller schools, faced lesser competition, they've had great NFL careers. You're right. But if I'm the Atlanta Falcons and I understand the desperation need at pass rusher, I want to look against a guy that's playing against elite talent every single week, and I've seen him produce. So we've talked a little bit about Turner. What do you guys think about the other two guys that are in the discussion, Latu and Verse, as far as some of the top pass rushers in the draft?
Okay, so the only concern that comes for me for Dallas Turner is the numbers don't overwhelm you. You mm-hmm. talked about the sacks he had, and he had them against quality opponents. But we're not talking about Will Anderson here.
Right.
Remember, Will Anderson came into the league after he had 117 sack season. I think his last year there was double digits again at Alabama, became the number one pick, one of the two number one picks for Houston this last mm-hmm. year, and was a starter for him early on in the year. So I'm a little concerned from a numbers standpoint. I think his overall game translates perfectly, like you're saying.
Yeah.
When you look at Latu, a little bit more experience. He's a guy that played at Washington, had a neck injury, transferred to UCLA, checked out on all the medicals at the combine. He's good to go. He's got some maturity to his game. There's a little bit of versatility to him. I don't know where Dallas is as far as his versatility. Okay, does he have the rip? Can he turn speed to power like Jared Verse can? Because mm-hmm. We know he can run around guys,
yep.
but can he run through guys and those kind of things? Latu has some versatility to his game,
yep.
both against the run and against the pass. And, of course, Jared Verse, who I know you were going to mention, Verse, the outstanding player, spent 3 years at FCS Albany before he transferred to Florida State. Had a really good year at Florida State last year with that outstanding defense. But he's got a little bit more punch to him now. He's got a little more heaviness to him. Doesn't have the closing speed, albeit he ran, I think, 4 or 5 at the combine. He doesn't have that chase down speed, but he can go speed to power. I see him run through tackles more than I do Turner.
Mm-hmm.
That's my look at those three players.
Yeah, and again, to me, like I saw Verse, I mean, his last two games, I mean, you talk about ACC championship against Louisville and then against Florida, he has 4.5 sacks in those two games. I mean, that he was unblockable those yeah. last two games. I mean, that's when everybody was yeah. like, oh my gosh, this dude is legit. So I think some of the mocks that I saw have him more like in the teens. I'm not sure if he'll be a top 10 pick or not. But have you looked at all three of these guys, and which one do you like the best, DJ?
Turner's the guy for me for sure. And when I look at the three, I think Art did a good job of talking about how the mold of all three of these guys. And when I say the mold of, you look at Dallas Turner, you say, okay, which guy you think fits what the Falcons want to do the most? And people talk about 3-4 to 4-3. I think he can be interchangeable in either one of them. And the fact that he can stand up and rush, he can stand up and drop, he can stand up and cover, I think that's a difference from what Latu can do. I think that's a little bit different from what Verse can do. Both those guys are a little bit heavier set guys. So guess what? Those guys can play that run just maybe a little bit better than maybe, you know, Dallas Turner can. But I'm saying, that doesn't say he can't do it at all either. But I think Turner comes in and he adds everything that you want. The versatility that you want to be able to move him all around and play him in multiple spots, I think is one of those type of guys. I feel like Turner's a guy that you can put him inside and you can see him rushing the A-gap. Or you can, you know, have stunts and all that kind of stuff. Not saying the other two guys can't, but I just love the fact that you can use him in, I think, multiple of ways than maybe you can use both of those guys because of their size. And like Arch mentioned, this, you know, Latu's guy who has the power, has the punch, can get upfield, wants to, you know, be one of those guys like a mauler on the inside. But I think Turner gives you the best of both worlds when you're talking about being able to be versatile inside this defense and do multiple things.
Let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've made our select. You and I both took Turner. You took Mitchell. All three players are being projected, or all both players are being projected top 10 picks. Okay. So give me an idea, your guys' thoughts on. I am of the opinion that the best player available, which has been Terry Fontenot's philosophy, best player available. I think that matches the defensive player this year. If it's Turner or if it's Mitchell, let's say Turner's off the board, Mitchell's there. This is the first year, and I hope I'm saying this right, that the ability of the player and best player available and need
matches
this year for the first time.
Because last year, coming off the season we had with Tyler Allgeier, probably not thinking they were going to go with a running back, Bijan Robinson, but he was
in need like that.
Yeah, I mean, but he was clearly the guy that they fell in love with, right? Sure. And obviously he's turned out to be a great player in his first year and probably many years to come. But I agree with you because you think, okay, is this a year where the Falcons trade up? And I'm like, well, trade up for what, really? I mean, it's like quarterbacks and wide receivers are the ones that are going ahead of them.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what is the top need for them right now for what they would have to give up in the trade, right, to move up higher. So I would agree with you. I mean, if they're looking at the player that's likely going to be available, let's just call it Dallas Turner if that's the case, or if it's the corner and it matches – And the other big thing, too, guys, is we've talked about what Terry Fontenot looks for up here. Like, he's always talking about the player that fits what they're looking for. And we may not know that because we don't get a chance to sit down with Mitchell or Dallas Turner in the extent that they do, right? But they're also looking for what the guy has between his ears, not just matching it with what he does on the field.
All right, let me add another scenario to the conversation. We've talked about need versus want. We've talked about, okay, yeah, the edge rusher fits exactly what you need and what you want to add to this team. What about if a guy like a Rome Odunze is there as well? And you say, okay, we got Mooney, we got a couple different guys that's coming in from receiver. Are those clear-cut guys that can be on the other side of Drake London that gives you problems? And I know you went offense the last 3-4 years at this particular spot. Would that be something that you look at and say, that's far blown, or you think this is a value pick as well at that position, saying this guy can help us right away, just like a Dallas Turner?
You get to me, you'd have to be extremely comfortable that with your second pick or the ability to get maybe to another spot in the first round, that there's somebody sitting there. Is Chop Robinson sitting there? Darius Robinson, whoever you think is that next tier of edge rushers and or corners.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask the same question.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mitchell is your pick. If it's Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, whoever it is, the corner at 8, are you comfortable enough that that next tier of edge rushers is – because you're looking for a starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not looking for some guy to come in and contribute. You're looking for a guy to come in and make an impact on defense.
Yeah.
Is that guy – are you guys feel like that there's depth there? So I'm almost throwing the question back. I don't take a receiver. I love Odunze. I love Neighbors. Love, obviously, Harrison. There's enough receivers in the second and third round. I don't need to go get a guy in the first round. I need to get a difference maker defensively. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, I've kind of been – last season I was pounding the table about needing somebody that can go up over the top of the defense. Remember the trade they made with Van Jefferson? I think they were trying to get that guy, that speedster, that could blow past the defense, and it didn't necessarily work out in their favor. So I still believe that they need that. Maybe one of the guys that came in can end up fitting that bill. We know what Drake London is. He's going to physicality – he's going to win you with his size and going up over the top of you. We know that. Kyle Pitts is going to do the same thing. But do we have somebody that's going to make a defensive back turn his hips and run the other direction. Because then you have a lot of options, right? Now your corners, your comebacks open up. Mm-hmm. And then if they don't respect it, you throw the ball over the top. And you got somebody like Kirk Cousins that is not afraid to take some shots downfield. So obviously a lot of discussions here, and you're right. We'll see what happens if the Atlanta Falcons, their scouting department, a personnel department, like what sits behind in the second round for a corner or Very for true. A defensive end, a pass rusher. So, guys, we talked a little bit about corner. We talked about pass rusher. Let's talk about position groups for the rest of the draft of the Falcons. DJ, I'm going to start with you. We mentioned it. Maybe this is another – maybe you stay, okay, we need more corners or we need more pass rushers, but where do you think Atlanta goes next as far as position groups to address for the 2024 season?
You know, I think there are a couple spaces that you look at, and obviously if you go with the pass rusher on that first pick at number 8, I think immediately your mind goes to, okay, now let's solidify the back end. So you think about guys that you already got in-house that can play multiple spots and can move inside, and that's why I think the corner position is another guy that you can feel on the outside and say, all right, once we start looking deeper into this draft, how do we become better on the back end? How do we take the football away? And that comes with edge rushers and solidifying that in front. We saw Ebukadi come on last year. He'd be a big part of that. But if you add that guy at number 8 and then you say, all right, let's make sure we solidify our other end, because we know this is a league that loves to throw the football around.
Yep.
We know this is a league that you need 4 or 5 corners that are legit to be able to play in this game. So why not go out and find that young guy that you can pair with A.J. Terrell, you can pair with some of these guys on the outside as well, pair with D. Alford, Clark Phillips on the inside, let those guys play predominantly in the slot, which were really good last year. We saw both guys play on the outside last year and play pretty good football. But now you're bringing another guy, I think. So I think the corner spot, that secondary spot, is a good position to start with once you get into the latter rounds.
Arch, what do you think?
Do you guys feel like, are we still, if we get into that mode, because you're a little bit deeper on your board now, but how GMs and personnel and coaches set it up is they've got their top, the criteria, the top 100 or the top 25 guys or whatever, regardless of position. And then they've got a grouping of each position and where those guys stack up in their own position group. So there'll be a number of number 2 overall, but maybe number 1 in an edge rusher.
Yep.
And now they're trying to mix and match how that works as you get deeper into the draft. How far in do you go before the best player available thing goes out the window for you in your mind, or you take a guy you need? Like a corner, he might not be, let's say you're picking at 40 and he's about 55 on your board, but he's the best corner available, you know, and you go need.
I mean, the first thing that came to my head was like around the 3rd round, but okay. But Arch, I think what happens, and I could be completely wrong here, but this is where to for us and for the average fan, what they don't know is how much time the scouting departments get to spend with these guys, right? Mm-hmm. And so what every draft expert might say is the top 5 corners, that doesn't necessarily always match what Terry and Raheem think is the top 5
sure.
corners or linebackers or pass rushers or whatever it is, because they went and sat down with a kid at the combine or at his pro day or at on a visit, mm-hmm. and they got to know somebody and they said, everybody got this guy at number 6 on their board, but he's 2 on ours because we know what this kid's makeup is, yep. and we love him, right?
That's a good call.
So that's why I sometimes tend to veer away from some of that stuff, because I know, and I've heard Terry say it many a times when he signed Jesse Bates, when he brought number of times he said, this guy fits what we want to do. It's an Atlanta Falcon. We like what he's going to bring in the locker room. And so, to me, I feel like 3rd round is but it could be late 2nd, right?
Makes
it could
sense.
Be late 2nd when somebody is available and they love them, they decide that they want to go get them.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think for me, when you look at that 2nd round and you begin to think, okay, if you got the edge rusher in the 1st round, I'm kind of leaning what Shock is. I think Shock was dead on in the fact that you're looking to try to address opposite A.J. Terrell, because there is some uncertainty.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, we had Okuda play there. Clark Phillips played there at that corner spot. I think you love what D. Alford can do in the slot, so you're not so concerned there. But the other corner is kind of a bit of a question. Now, you hope that Clark takes a next step, but Willie. So do you put some competition in the room with him with a pick like Shock's talking about? I think that makes a ton of sense. There's some really good players certainly sitting in that situation. You could go to one of the Georgia Bulldogs. I think that, you know, you start talking about Lassiter, Kamari Lassiter is going to be sitting there. Yeah. TJ Tampa at Iowa State. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama may be sitting there.
Yep.
Here's the one that's intriguing to me. The one area that I'm a little concerned about on the offensive side of the football is at the center spot.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. And I think Drew Dahlman is going to take that next step, and I think he did some really good things this last year. When you run it as good as we have the last couple of years, he's obviously getting his head on somebody and blocking people.
Yep.
But you've got a quarterback that's not going anywhere now. Okay. And so interior pressure is going to be a huge thing this year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And if Jackson Powers Johnson is sitting there, the big center out of Oregon, guy's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 330 pounds. If you watch him on tape, there's nobody moving this dude out of the way. Now, he's not the biggest, quickest foot guy.
Yep.
But if you're blocking you're trying to double team that three technique or whatever, and he's a part of that, or if he's singled up on somebody, he's pretty good. And so that would be the one area that might be off of what everybody else is thinking about. I'm thinking interior offensive line. Of course, that's the quarterback coming out of me. Yep.
And you know what, Archie, you brought that up. It kind of rang for me because it wasn't off the beaten path for me, because my mind went to, okay, we got a guy that's outside who's played a lot of football in Jake Matthews. When do you start looking for the guy to come in and say, all right, here's your Aaron Parent. You can learn behind this guy for a couple years or a year or two, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And say, okay, here's the guy that can fill that void. So I wasn't far off thinking about the offensive line as well, too, of adding pieces to it. Obviously, you got some guys that are in-house right now, and we've seen that can play multiple spots and all that kind of stuff. But are you looking for that signature left tackle that can replace you? Think about it, you got a $100 million quarterback in here that you absolutely want to protect for the next couple of years. Not saying Jake is done. Not saying he's over with it. He's got to be out of here. But – when you start looking toward the future, like Arch talks about, at that center spot, that offensive line is absolutely really important.
I love where your two's heads are at.
Yeah, we're trying to protect the quarterback. It's a deep group of offensive tackles, too.
Yeah.
You're talking about as many as seven guys could go in the first round.
Yep.
So there's a lot of really good tackles out there.
So it's a good thing, because you think about the last 2 years, basically Mariota and Desmond Ridder, guys that had the athleticism to get outside the pocket if they needed to. And so they're thinking, okay, well, things break down. We've got a guy that's got the athleticism. Kurt wants to stay in the pocket and sling it. And I think that's what this organization needs, is somebody that can sling it like Matt Ryan did when he was in his prime. So keeping him upright and giving him a clean pocket is a smart one. I'm going to throw one more position group out at you that we have not – doesn't. I don't think we've mentioned anything about, but I started thinking about the linebacker group, okay? And the reason why I say that is we had an injury last year in an interior linebacker position.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, what are we going to do now, right? Went out and got Caden Ellis. I think he played some really good football last year. But I think depth at the linebacker position, and I like inside, like guys that are going to be able to fill gaps, help you stop the run, but also can turn their hips and cover a tight end in passes.
Yeah.
So that would be an area that I would look to as well. And a guy that you feel like has got the athleticism to contribute right away on special teams. He can be one of your guards or tackles on the punt team going down and making tackles. He's going to be on your kickoff coverage team, which we know those guys aren't making many tackles anymore these days. But it's not necessarily the most luxurious position, but we saw last year how important it is. Like, you got to have some studs. And think about the couple of the teams that went deep in the postseason, the Ravens and the 49ers. They got studs
elite
at
linebacker.
The inside linebacker position. Yep. So not to take anything away that we don't have that, I just think that's another position group that you think about. If there's somebody sitting there that you fell in love with, that you feel like can contribute, bring another linebacker onto this team. I feel like it's an area that will help them out.
I think that's a great call. I think that the linebackers change now. The linebacker's not this 245-pound guy that's stepping up and drilling a guard.
No more Mike Singletary.
Those guys aren't playing more. You're talking about 228 pounds to about 235. You're talking about guys that can run. Names like Junior Colson out of Michigan, Edrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, Trevin Wallace, Peyton Wilson out of NC State. It's not a deep group. There's probably only about four or five guys that are projected to be first two-day picks.
Yep.
And then
yep.
you're talking about third day.
Right.
But it doesn't
right.
hurt to get a guy like you're talking about. I mean, let's Oluokun, who came in here, was what, a seventh or a sixth round pick out of
yep.
Yale?
Yep.
Who'd have thought? Dude's making some bank.
Now he got a nice new deal.
Yeah. Leading tackler the last two seasons in the National Football League. So those guys can be found. So it's a good point.
Well, and Troy Anderson, Nate Lamon, I mean, they've found some good workhorse linebackers. Sure. So I think track record's been pretty good. Last question I have for you before we sign off. Do you feel like Atlanta's – and this is a hard question to answer because every draft is different, but do you feel like Atlanta's a team that's going to be making trades, moving in and out of rounds? Do you see that this year with them? Or do you see that from what you've seen in the past, Arch, with Terry Fontenot?
Go ahead, Arch. Go ahead.
No, you got I liked how you jumped in there. You were ready.
Well, when he asked that, it came to mind when you talked about the question of you got a guy at 55 – or you got a guy who's rated 55 and you got the 40th pick. Or vice versa, and you know a guy that you really want and you feel like maybe he won't be there 10 more picks. And I think that's where the moves will be made. I don't think the picks will be made early because we talked about earlier. Falcons in a really good spot for the guys that they want, so it fits them to be where they are. Now, who knows? I mean, we know Terry, we know Raheem, they are adamant about what they want to do. And as we've seen, Raheem's a guy who – hey, he says he's going to do it, so it's a possibility of it. But I think
it's what Drake was talking about, right? It's relationships.
For sure.
It's the relationship. If you had a, you know, would they have 30 guys come in here or 25? So if you developed a relationship with those guys at the combine or whatever,
regardless
it's probably what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to jump six spots, he's the best guy I like. I like this guy fitting what we do.
Yeah.
Then they're gonna make the move. Yeah. I don't see them trading a ton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that they've done such a good job, guys, with free agency and addressing spots and needs and adding to the wide receiver core with Mooney and Rondale Moore and guys that can run and do stuff, that I think that they've got versatility where is there a team in your mind that's more of a – could be a wild card as to where they go? I mean, I think we're kind of settling into defense at eight, but I think their versatility in what they could do after the first round – is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at it, and as I go through my mind about this team, and you look at every position, and then you start thinking about the draft, you say, okay, well, we're pretty good in this spot. You look at what happened last year on the defensive line when you had on your model, you had Grady, you had all these guys healthy, and they were playing. Troy Anderson, Caden on the back end. You're talking about, you know, having Jesse and having AJ on the offensive side. We went through both. That's how you say, okay, well, this team is pretty well wrapped up. And now you look at the draft, say, okay, it makes a point where you say, all right, well, we got guys who are there, but now we look at the draft and say, we got guys who we think can fill the depth that we need.
Yes.
Because obviously we go through a long season and guys go down. We just talked about it at the linebacker spot. But this is a team right now, when you look at that first 22, 24 guys, you feel pretty good about it. So now it's about adding to that, and I think that's where Arch is going with, hey, I don't think you have to give away much in this draft to be able to go get the guys that you need to fill the roles that you want when it comes to this team.
Let us know what you think. Did we address some of the needs that you thought that the Atlanta Falcons needed for this 2024 draft? Let us know, because this is just the next phase in the offseason for not only the Atlanta Falcons, but for everybody in the National Football League. And we will have a whole lot more coverage coming up over the next 2 weeks following and covering the NFL draft. Who does Atlanta Falcons bring into the building for their 2024 season? It's going to be an exciting time. DJ is going to be doing it for the Falcons, for Fox, for pretty much everybody. Dave will be doing it for the Falcons, and I'll be doing it for a little bit for Atlanta as well.
And I'll be honest, if you guys haven't watched Arch's stuff on AtlantaFalcons.com, I mean, I go to it and watch it to learn some things and find some names or find some dudes that I ain't really thought about. So you got to go watch it. Trust me. It's really great stuff. As you can see from his work here, the dude puts in the time.
I love it.
He knows what he's talking about. So absolutely, go check that out, too.
Arch will be bringing it for the next 2 weeks. Just
no
know that.
Doubt.
And DJ will, too. Well, and I'll hold up my end of the
We're going to be all over. So stay with us. He's
stay
got
with us.
Pregame
right.
shows and radio
right.
shows and news breaks. We're going to try to keep
you
covered.
We got you covered in a lot of different angles. So thanks so much for joining us. Continue to like, subscribe, and review however you watch our podcast here, Spotify, iTunes, AtlantaFalcons.com, and YouTube. We will have a whole lot more coverage coming up. Be sure to join us on behalf of DJ and Arch. I'm D Rack, otherwise known as Derek Rackley. Thanks so much for joining us on the Falcons Audible presented by AT&T.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.